Accession number 30274, reel number 4.
Mr. Wainwright, reel 6. By that time, everything was very, very fluid, and we were chasing the Germans, and we were chasing them up into Belgium. And we stopped in a Belgian mining village, in nice little houses, and we stopped in the street. And quite quickly, the people came out and talked to us, and the children came. And the reason I'm mentioning this is that when we had the children round about us, we got out the chocolate from our rations, and the children wouldn't have it because they didn't know what it was. They'd never seen chocolate and never had any idea about chocolate. I thought, well, that tells you how pathetic things can be in wartime and deprivation. And then I had this return to England. I'll just put that bit in because it's always struck me as quite surprising that children wouldn't eat chocolate, frightened of it. So after hospital, I was at Catterick, and from Catterick I went down on a particular job. Half a dozen of us were seconded to Warwick to help the paymaster side of the army in determining the discharge dates for soldiers according to the service that they'd given. And had a very pleasant time down in Warwick, and then from there came back to Catterick, or from Catterick up to a rehabilitation centre near Hartford Bridge by Bedlington, just over the top of Plessy Woods. And I was seconded to the PRO, the side that looked after the canteen and the sort of social side, and did the accounting work. Didn't like it. But I had a bicycle, and I was able to have a sleeping out pass, and I cycled from there each evening down to my home at 34 Beattie Avenue, because my wife and my two daughters had come back from being away at Gilsland, and then I had to be back up at the unit for first parade in the morning. I cycled down and cycled back. And in doing so, I acquired a disability. I got an anal fistula, and I had to go into hospital, Catterick Military Hospital, and have an operation. And after that, I came back to the unit. And from there, I was discharged. And I can't remember the date of it. And then I returned to Sibley Street. At that point, people like my firm, Angus Watson and Company Limited, were still under government control, only distributing what the government had to distribute. There was no private trading. And then came the day when the government released everything, and the wheels started to turn again, and I was able to take up and do a proper job that I used to do. And for the first time we had a bit of money, because that would be in the 1950s, and in the year I made £1,000 on commission, and £1,000 at that time was a lot of money. And after that, well, life has gone on and on and on. The firm has changed and changed and changed, and the firm no longer exists. It used to be that canned goods were the convenience foods, very much liked, very much bought, very much appreciated. Corned beef, canned salmon, sardines, canned fruit. Everybody had them, everybody used them, and there was a big, big trade. And now, if you go into an Asda or a Tesco or a Sainsbury's or any of the others, you see miles and miles of shelf space devoted to convenience foods, and there's hardly a tin to be seen. And the year before last, the firm that I was with, which started as Angus Watson and Company Limited in Newcastle in 1908, and which I joined in 1926, and which I left in December of 1974, it ceased to exist. It had become first Pelling Watson and Green, and then John West Foods Limited, and John West Foods sold its brands to the Heinz Company the year before last, so that the firm that I worked for nearly 50 years no longer exists.
Did you find it easy to adjust after you came out of the army?
Oh, yes. It took a lot of adjusting. It took a lot of adjusting in two ways. One was coming back to a family, and for the family to adjust to having a man in the family. Because when I went away, my younger daughter was only 4 months old, and she'd never been used to having a man at all. And on one of my leaves, she said, "I don't like you." I was the one who was getting all the attention, and she wasn't. So we had to learn how to live together. And then I had to learn how to do all the business out of which I had been for the best part of 5 years. All to be readjusted.
Were you on a reserve or TA or anything like that after you left the army?
Well,
were
I was
on a reserve list.
Oh no, no, I was just out. I went in A1, and when I was at hospital in Derby, I learnt that I had been regraded to B8, and I was furious about this. And I had an interview with a colonel who obviously was a medical consultant wearing army gear, and he sat on the other side of the desk and he smiled at me and they had a chat. He said, "You're very upset about this," but he said, "You needn't be, you know, you needn't be." He said, "What we have done is," now he said, "am I right in saying that you were in the Alamein battle and up to Tunis, and then you were in Italy from Salerno to way above Naples, and then you were back on D-Day plus one, and you came back from the north of Belgium?" I said, "Yes." He said, "Well, we think you've done enough, and we are giving you an insurance policy, and you are B8, because this means that you can never be sent abroad, and it means you can never be sent to a fighting regiment, and it means that you've got to have special treatment. So I said, all right, thanks very much. I'll accept being B8. I thought to go to B8 from A1 was just too bad. But that is why it happened. That's what it did. So I finished up, fortunately. And also, you see, I was fortunate in that with all the changes in the firm, I was always one who was wanted and never asked to go, always asked to stay, which I did. And we got through, and I have always felt that the right time to leave anything is when you're on the crest of the wave and not when you're down at the bottom. And fortunately, I was able to leave the firm on the crest of the wave. I was very well looked after by the people I was working with. Through all the changes, you see, we have many different people in management, many different styles of management, different chairmen, different directors, and so on and so forth. And the people that I was working with over my last years with the firm were an excellent lot of people, very, very good to work with. I was very grateful.
Just going back, do you remember which job you were doing when you heard about VE Day?
When I was?
When VE Day came along, do you remember what you were doing then?
Yeah, I was still in the army. I was up at the rehabilitation centre.
Did you get a pension from the army?
Yes. I have three pensions. It's the smallest one, and in a way, it's the one I like best because it's tax-free. Yes, I got the pension because of my bad hearing. Actually, leaving the army, the bounty that I got after all those years was £80, a suit of clothes, some socks and shoes, and a shirt and a hat and some. In the tie of £80.
And that was your bounty for your service?
That was a bounty for over 4 years' service.